The Washington Post published a lengthy article on the surveillance program yesterday. The headline sums it up: Surveillance Net Yields Few Suspects. Barton Gellman is one of the Post reporters who wrote that story. And Bart Gellman, how few is few?
We don't know exactly. We know that there were thousands of Americans, the technical term is U.S. persons, meaning citizens or residents, who've had their conversations intercepted and recorded or their emails read. We know that there have been only applications in the single digits for warrants from a federal judge to continue the surveillance of those same people in their domestic calls. So you're talking about a fraction of 1%.
You're saying that the controversial part, the warrantless surveillance here, is of thousands, and then when intelligence agencies wanted to proceed with domestic surveillance, they did go and apply for warrants for domestic communications.
Yeah, the president has made very clear that this program is only for calls overseas. Now, if you've got a person in the U.S. who you think is an al-Qaeda associate or supporter or agent, and you continue to think that after intercepting that person's international calls, well, then you're going to want to know what they're saying to people across town or across the United States, because that's the purpose. The purpose is to prevent an attack here. And I want to be precise about what we know and what we don't know. We know that the number of times this produced a suspect for which the administration sought legal authority to do domestic wiretapping is in the single digits a year. We don't know how often it received that authority. We don't know if, having received that authority, they discovered through their domestic surveillance that the person really was an al-Qaeda terrorist or associate. So it's not that we know this program has led to the identification or capture or disabling of a number of terrorists in the single digits. We know that in only a few handfuls of cases at all have they found someone they were interested enough in to continue surveilling domestically.
You did hear some judgments from professionals who were involved in this, or some of you who were doing the story did, their judgment of whether this is an efficient process or not. What did you hear?
Well, efficient and effective are two different things. It's not efficient in the sense that most leads don't pan out. But as I say, they may be getting valuable information this way. I don't know. They won't display the evidence on that.
What's the process by which the government goes from this this seemingly rather wide net that involves thousands, perhaps, wholesale surveillance in any case, down to such a small number of people? How is it all winnowed down?
They have a variety of ways of establishing leads. There could be an agglomeration of factors. If you do pattern analysis, you're creating a model of notional terrorist behavior. You may know from your experience, having captured some dozens of al-Qaeda operatives, that typically they make certain kinds of changes in their use of disposable cell phones. Or maybe you know that they favor a certain brand of SIM card. Or maybe you know that they tend to travel in Waziristan, or that they speak on the phone only for 2 minutes or less. You take many of those factors together, each of which can be innocent on its own, and probably is, and you get a portrait of terrorist behavior. And then you look for people who fit that model. Another way to do it is to say A called B and B called C. Maybe A and C are linked. And there are much more sophisticated ways of doing that within enormous databases.
Was there some point in investigating this surveillance program where you could see, right, now I understand why somebody running this would not want to go to the FISA court? I mean, just if you could role play as somebody doing that, does it make sense to you in some way?
Sure. They say that they're getting valuable leads this way, that intelligence is putting together the pieces of a mosaic. They also know that they frequently do not have a body of evidence that would be sufficient to establish probable cause on the American who is party to the conversation. Sometimes they don't even know who the American is. They only know it's a phone number. And the only thing they know about that phone number is that they found it on a laptop somewhere, or that the only thing they have is the internet protocol address of a computer. And they know somebody who they arrested and suspect of being an al-Qaeda terrorist had an email exchange with someone at that computer address. That's not enough to get a warrant. but it is enough to get you curious.
Barton Gellman, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Barton Gellman of the Washington Post, one of the reporters who wrote yesterday's story, which claimed that the surveillance program that's been the subject of today's hearings in the Senate netted very few suspects.
Our coverage of the NSA wiretapping story continues online. At NPR.org, you can read a breakdown of the Bush administration's legal justifications and challenges to those arguments from the nonpartisan Congressional Research Service.